Our scripture today is from Luke 21, 25 to 36. And just remember that nothing is a surprise to God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Everything is in His control. He's the beginning and the end. The Son of Man is coming. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The lesson of the fig tree. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things take place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Exhortation to watch. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. That will come upon us. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape the things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man.
Thank you, Luann, and may the Lord add blessing to the reading of the Holy Word this day. Just as we associate the first coming of Jesus with love, joy, peace, and hope, with the Advent candle themes, so we do the same for His second coming. The scriptures are filled with danger and evil associated with the second coming, just like His first coming. Did you know that there were warnings about bad things that would happen when Christ would come the first time? We don't often think of that. But there were, and they did happen. We'll talk about that this morning. But God defeats Satan in both His first coming and His second coming. God gives hope for those living in despair. He gives peace for those living with chaos. He gives joy for those in sorrow. And He gives love for those living with hatred and discrimination. And so our prayer should be, Lord Jesus, give me eyes to see your hope, your joy, your peace will come as I surrender to you. Let my faith increase. Isn't it amazing how God continues to strengthen goodness by placing it right in the middle of evil? You know, when you say, I don't know if that's white or not, but when you get it next to another color that makes it stand out, then you say, oh yeah, that's white, or whatever. It is awesome how God continues to strengthen goodness by placing it right in the middle of evil. Jesus told the parable of the wheat and the tares, and the disciples were saying, well, why don't you just get rid of the weeds? He said, no, that's for the end of the time. That's for the end of the age. All things will be taken care of then. There is something about having the wheat and the weeds growing together. Brothers and sisters, Bethlehem was act one for the Messiah, for Jesus. The second coming is act two. And in these Christmas readings, these Advent readings, we don't often, they're not read in every church, but we have the readings of the second coming of Christ. And you say, well, what's going on with that? Isn't it all about Jesus, the baby Jesus? Yes, we celebrate what's already happened, but the church has long had Advent readings about the second coming of Christ, and that is for the first Sunday in Advent, because not only was everyone hopeful for the Messiah then, we are hopeful for the Messiah's second return today. I want to share with you a couple of passages. One is Micah chapter 5, and the other is Matthew chapter 2. And I want to talk to you about the bad things that were associated with the first coming of Jesus. We say, well, there was nothing bad about when Jesus came the first time. It was a beautiful little baby. Yeah, that's all we talk about. But remember this. So in Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 15, thus saith the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. And in the Gospel of Matthew, he picks up on this in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 16. And he said, and this was the fulfillment of this, and we don't often read about this because we just want to read the nice things. But we have to understand that whenever God wants to do something good, whenever we want to do something good, Satan is right there and with evil. Matthew, in chapter 2, verse 16, writes these words, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, they were looking for the Messiah, and they were suspicious that Herod was up to no good, which he was. So then Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men. He became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under. Well, that's not very nice, is it? According to the time that he had discerned from the wise men, then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is written 700 years before Christ, that we read already, a voice heard in Ramah, and he quotes it. Matthew quotes it, and he says, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentations, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Losing a child is a terrible thing, and it should not happen. The old people are supposed to go first. But many times it does happen the other way, and that's unfortunate. Okay, but it wasn't all bad news. So there is also good news fulfilled. And in Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5, we read these words. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, that's just another name for Bethlehem, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, Bethlehem, shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. So in other words, this little town of Bethlehem, which has very little significance, you know, it's not a great city, it's not a great town, but it is the birthplace of David, and now, of course, also of Jesus. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Now remember, this is 700 years before Christ. Micah is inspired by the Holy Spirit and writes these words of the birth of Christ. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. They shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. He shall be their peace. Speaking of the Messiah, the one coming, born in Bethlehem. So that's good news. The coming of the Son of Man. Now this is what we read today. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. This is in our reading this morning. And on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. So there are bad things. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's saying, look, there are some bad things that are going to happen. People are going to be confused. There's going to be distress. People are going to be stressed out. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Why? Because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That doesn't sound like good news, does it? So this is bad, just like there was some bad for the first coming. But then Jesus says in verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things happen and begin to take place, Jesus says, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near, or drawing nigh, I think it says in some of the scriptures. Then he told them a parable, look at the fig tree and the leaves, so that you can tell the time. He says, just when you see the leaf coming out, you know it's almost summertime. And he says, when you see these things happening, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. And then he says this, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. Okay. So in other words, pay attention. Be on guard and pay attention. Don't be drunk and be concerned with the worries of this life. Because if you are overly stressed out and concerned with the cares of this life, it will catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. So, Jesus says, be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things, and that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, why is it that God allows bad things to happen? Why is it? Because it's a law. The Apostle Paul says, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. It was true when God the Father wanted to send Jesus, and there was a Herod who wanted to slaughter the children. And then also in 1 Peter, he says the same thing. He says, be sober-minded and watchful, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So we have goodness, and that is the end of the story. But getting there, there's a struggle. Notice that here in the scriptures for the second coming of Jesus, there is a struggle, but Jesus says there is also great hope and great joy. Hope in the Bible does not shy away from the sad realities of life here on planet Earth. There is death, there is sickness, we know that. It doesn't shy away from that. God created life to bring goodness to the earth, but life here is met with a continuing onslaught of disease and death and pain. Now, we can get bogged down in that. But the scripture says, just as night comes before day, so the bad comes before the good. That is why in Genesis chapter 1, God is very, very careful to say, and there was evening, there was night, and there was morning, the first day. The night always comes before the dawn. In other words, the good always comes after the bad. What happens after death? Where was Jesus? And so the pattern repeats itself. Wherever goodness breaks out, sin is there to meet it. It was there in the garden, it was there at the first coming of Jesus, and it will be there at his second coming. We've already been warned. Children were slaughtered at Christ's first coming, but he escaped death and when the angel warned Mary and Joseph to flee Egypt and hide out until the time was past. Now, think about this. If you get nothing else out of it this morning, pay attention to what I'm going to say now. Jesus was killed on the cross. We know that. But he overcame death by his resurrection. God's goodness has the power to triumph over Satan's evil plans every time. Now, here is real life application for us. Consider the cross. What is the absolute worst sin the world has ever seen? The crucifixion of Christ. He was holy. He was perfect. He was blameless. And yet they convinced the Romans to kill him. It was the greatest sin. And yet, it was the absolute best day for us, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Because he paid that price. And he conquered death. So the very worst things as a real life application for you, whatever you may be going through, whatever it is, whatever the bad is, put the bad before the but. We say that a lot in here. Put the bad before the but. And the but is Jesus. Yes, that happened, but Jesus. But God. The absolute best day for sinners was also there on that cross. This is great news for all of us. It's great news because we understand God's plans for us are to thrive, while Satan's plans are for us to be enticed by our own arrogance and our own sin and our own pride. And we believe the lie of Satan, and he believed this, that we are not sinful, then we're good enough with our own works, and they are good enough. But God turns our mourning into dancing. Just as we associate the first coming of Jesus with joy, love, and peace, and hope, so we do with the second coming. The scriptures are filled with danger and evil for the second coming, just like his first coming. But God defeats Satan in both his first coming and his second coming. God gives hope for those living in despair, peace for those living in chaos, joy for those living in sorrow, and love for those living with hatred and discrimination. Brothers and sisters, Bethlehem was Act 1. The second coming is Act 2. Is it going to be a rough ride? Yes. It was a rough ride the first time. And again, this little short poem. Lord Jesus, give me eyes to see your hope, your joy, your peace will come as I surrender to you. Let my faith increase. Isn't it amazing how God continues to strengthen goodness by placing it right in the middle of evil? Let us pray. Lord, help us to see with your eyes. Where we see the cross, you see an empty tomb. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your eyes and your encouragement. And we thank you for that blessed first coming and the wonderful things that we read in Scripture that thrill our hearts. We thank you that you want us to join you and you accept everyone who bows the knee and surrenders to you. Lord, we believe. Help now our unbelief. And all God's people say.